This is Jeremy Hemsley of the Sheffield Sharks.
This is Lloyd Gardner, head coach of the Manchester Giants.
This is Lavelle Cook of the Surrey Scorchers.
This is Matthew Brian Aminin of the Cheshire Phoenix.
This is Vince McCauley of the London Lions. And you are now tuned into...
You're now tuned into
the BBL
Show.
The BBL Show.
Welcome to episode 11 of the BBL Summer Road Trip. I am Jay Marriott. He is Drew Lasker. You have had your very own real road trip. How is it to be back? Any holiday blues?
I wouldn't say holiday blues, but just a little bit of jet lag. You know, this summer for us was a one to remember. But like Cinderella says, there's no place like home. It feels good to be at home. My kids are excited. But besides the fact that me and my daughter were up watching Netflix at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, all right, honey, it's time to go to bed. She was like, Daddy, I'm not tired. And I was like, me neither, but we got to force it. Otherwise, we'll be screwed for like 2 weeks.
Well, I saw you got a nice little fresh cut there, mate, as well. So you're glowing. You're ready.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it, man. But as the listeners, they can't obviously see, but you're back at home paying your weekend duties to your family. So you got any plans this weekend?
No, just trying to recover from the week. You know, I'm sure the kiddos drag me out and the boys get me on the Fortnite. The daughter is mad about Justin Bieber and Ed Sheeran music, so I'll probably have to dance with her. All the daddy duties, you know, and then get a coffee inside me and go again Monday, right? So
you're saying Monday through Thursday is a lot more quieter?
It could be, man. Yeah, I probably get some more gray hairs during the week, but it's definitely not as energetic. Let's put it that way. So anyway, we're excited for this one. We're going WBBL for the first time this summer. I say the first time. We've kind of talked about the Queens and stuff like that, but this is the first time we've had a guest on. Star guard Kennedy Leonard of the London Lions is dropping in to talk about another super team in the capital heading to Europe. And so we can't wait to hear from her. Let's see what the Lasker has in his look back. But first, you know, it's your social media spy.
I'm an international super spy.
It's the Marriott Minute. So basically, at this point, it's all about the sign-ins. Manchester Giants pick up former G League draftee Martavius McKnight. Surrey Scorchers welcome back veteran big Dean Wanless, as well as a new big man, Saquon Jameson. Sheffield Sharks sign American guard Aaron Anderson, someone Josh Wilshire actually tweeted about being a hell of a player, so that's exciting. Josh does have an eye for talent. Eagles see a returning face in Kyle Williams. Glasgow Rocks pick up guard Jordan Harris. And finally, newly renamed Plymouth City Patriots, how bizarre is that to say, making their first sign-in a great one. Coach Paul James will be returning to the sidelines for them. Rumors. I like rumors. Get more of them out there. But there's a rumor out there saying London Lions have signed Marquise Teague. The former Chicago Bull has sent out a post about being in Canary Wharf. People have put two and two together and assume that he is there to help them with their European forage. And then former Cheshire Phoenix player Mark Rangeley seems to think that Evan Walsh is headed to Spain. So time will tell on those rumours. And that's this week's Marriott Minute. I'm always watching.
Good minute as usual, my guy. I did see that tweet come across my timeline, and the first thing that I thought is everyone wants to be the first one to leak information. So I had a little chuckle at that, but I'm going to put you on the spot. I know we're short on time, but Plymouth, new rebrand, like or dislike?
It's not because the branding's bad. I just, my heart sank when I saw it, you know, like it hurt, you know what I mean? It just hurt. And that's no reflection of what they're trying to do down there. And there's obviously some obstacles and things like that, but you would just wish, those are one of those times, right, where you just wish people would see the bigger picture and just get the damn name, you know, like there's entirely too much history, entirely too much heart gone into that club by everybody, fans, volunteers, players, former coaches, like just see the bigger picture. But yeah, we're now Plymouth City Patriots. What about you, my man?
I totally agree with you. When it came across, I just said to myself, oh man, I'm happy that they're back in the league. But I said this on a previous episode, if they had to rebrand and change the name, for me personally, it just wouldn't be the same. Unfortunately, but moving on to WBBL in this episode of the Lasker Look Back. In this episode of the Lasker Look Back, we touch down in London town, the nation's capital, and literally overnight has become the hotbed and center of attention when it comes to women's basketball. To add to an already strong roster, which won the trophy in playoffs last season, the rich get richer as they have added Holly Winterburn, Azania Stewart, and Joe Liebman Warner. Even amongst those big names, point guard and new face of the WBBL, Kennedy Leonard stands tallest. Speaking of tallest, physically she's not. As mentioned in her pinned tweet, and I quote, "Speechless. This is for all the people who said I'm not good enough, too small, too slow, and how I'll never make it," as she became Colorado's all-time leading assist in 2018. And that's even missing a month during her senior year due to injury. It's safe to say that the women game is in great hands, and Leonard is ready to dish out more assists on an even bigger stage, the Euro Cup Women, in which they are the second team in the UK to ever compete in a competition. You better believe I won't be betting against her. And that is your Lasker Look Back.
And great look back, my man. Let's get our guest in the room, London Lions star guard, Kennedy Leonard. Kennedy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Definitely our pleasure. I've seen and I've heard, but I've never met you. So it's a pleasure to meet you and happy to have you here on a BBL show. Welcome, Kennedy.
Thank you. Thank you. You as well.
Don't get starstruck, Drew, okay? Yeah, she's a little bit big, more big time than you're used to. All right. So, okay. So you're back in the capital. How does it feel to be back?
Good. I'm a bit tired. I got back on Tuesday, so I've been here for 3 days now. But no, it feels good. I feel like I was barely at home, honestly. So it feels like I never kind of left. So I don't really have to get back into the swing of things too much. So I guess that's good. But wish I could have been at home longer, but also excited, obviously, for this upcoming season.
No, definitely. And look, I've noticed on social media, it's been getting hammered by yourself with views of a new purchase from you, a Peloton bike. Is that right? So is this a secret to you being in game shape?
Yeah, I think so. When I went home this summer, my parents had bought one and I didn't believe the hype. They always were like, oh, get on the Peloton. It's awesome. Yada, yada, yada. And I was like, whatever, it can't be that good because I've been on bikes before and I don't really like them. And I got on the Peloton and literally 5 minutes into it, I was like, oh, I'm buying one. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care. Whatever it takes, I'm buying one. So yeah, I bought one. The biggest purchase I've ever made, but I've used it every day since I've been back. I actually have a Peloton shirt on right now.
So you really are repping. Is this an attempt at sponsorship?
Doing? Yeah, if they want to sponsor me, I'll take it. God, their things are so expensive. I'll take any penny or percentage that they want to take off. I'll take it. They can come at me at any time.
But wait, because I'm sure there's some listeners out there saying, what the hell is a Peloton bike? Which I'm saying right now, what is a Peloton bike?
A Peloton bike, it's basically just a spin bike, but it like has a big TV screen on it and it has like live classes, video on demand classes. So basically you're like one-on-one with an instructor who's just kicking your butt. So you can pick like HIIT classes or you can pick if you just want to do like a mood ride, like happy, sad, whatever you want to ride, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 45 minutes. You can do strength classes, yoga. It's basically like an all-in-one workout machine without having to go to the gym, but you pay for it. So like my bike, I think, was £2,500. And then you pay a monthly membership on top of that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it's a monthly membership. Oof, the monthly membership kicks your butt. Hang on a minute. I think I heard something. Mrs. Lasker is in the background right now, rustling through your wallet, Drew, quick.
Hey, well, I'm hoping you get us one for Christmas.
That was a great selling point. Anyway, the arrogance of me to think that Peloton is listening to this is incredible. Let's move on. For the listeners, give us a super quick run through on life before the WBBL and then, you know, a little bit about how you ended up in London.
Yeah, so I went to high school in Texas, a really good high school there. And then I went to college at the University of Colorado in Boulder, Pac-12 school. So played some really, really good teams in college, had a really good college career, broke my foot 12 games into my senior season, was supposed to get drafted, didn't get drafted because of my foot. So went overseas to Germany. I played Euro Cup, which is good to have some experience for this year. Played a year in Germany and then went back home for the summer. Mark reached out to me and said, do you want to ever play in London? I knew him through the GB senior team, the national team. And I said, oh, why not? You know, if you guys can pay, I'll come. My mom is British, so therefore I have a British passport and stuff like that. So I thought, when, you know, COVID year, what's a better time to go than now? Try it out. I came, had a good season, liked it, and said, oh, okay, I'll come back for two more. Might as well. So here I am.
Locked in and ready to go.
Yep, always.
I love it. So, listen, let's look at this roster a little bit. So the roster was announced today, you know, star power through the squad, expectations now through the roof. What's been the internal feelings of the team? You know, so we know what social media are going to be saying. We know how the narrative is going to go. But are you guys talking as if you should win it all? Or are you guys going by the old cliche, one day at a time? What's the inner vibe?
No, I think for us, it's just trying to build up of what we did last year. So whenever you bring in new people, you know, the chemistry changes a bit, the persona of the team kind of changes. So we're trying to figure out now how to, you know, merge people who are really, really successful already in the sport to come onto our team and try to fit in. So I think just trying to be as welcoming as we can, getting everybody back here, getting everybody sorted, like putting people into houses, stuff like that we're trying to cover now. But I think if you look at the roster, we should win, you know, outright everything in the WBBL this year. If we don't, I think that would be a huge disappointment. But I think at the same time, like you said, last year, we just kind of took everything in stride. We weren't supposed to be that good. We weren't supposed to do anything big. You know, Barking Abbey, London Lions hasn't ever been, you know, the team to look at in the WBBL. And I think now we're trying to change that and turn people's head a little bit. So I think for us, we are trying to take it a day at a time. But at the same time, you know, in the back of your mind, you know that, obviously, the hype around the squad, there's a reason for it, and we kind of have to live up to it, and we know that.
Yeah. Just to kind of go off piece just a little bit is, you know, there's no doubts this is still your team. How are you going about this personally? Because I'm sure Mark is turning around to you and looking at you to show some leadership, even with the quality and the experience coming into the group. Are you kind of like, whatever you've got to do to make this work, or is your feeling that they've got to adjust to you? Like, what's your thought process as a leader?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, I've never been the type of leader who, you know, has to do it by like yelling at people or telling people what to do. I'm more of kind of like your actions speak for themselves. So I think everybody's mature enough that we've brought in and can buy in enough to know that, like, they're going to have to kind of try to find their way into the different grooves where people aren't already or things like that. And of course, like I'm the type of person in life and in basketball where if like people need something or if they just want to be able to fit in or things like that, they can always come to me. So it is my team. And I know that it's my team, but at the same time, I want other people to know and feel like it's their team as well. I don't want it to feel like, you know, it's just Kennedy's team or just Kennedy on everything. It's her photo everywhere. It's this, that Kennedy, blah, blah, blah. I want other people to know that, you know, they're with us too. And it's not just me alone. I couldn't do anything without them, just as, you know, they couldn't do much without all of us. So I think that trying to reiterate that to them and make sure that they're ready that, you know, this season, there's going to be high expectations and sometimes that can be really hard and the pressure can get to people. So if I can try to be, you know, that little person who says, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, it's just basketball. It's just a game. It's supposed to be fun. Remember that. Then that's what I'm going to be.
Yeah, Kennedy, I'm not sure how much you have seen of the BBL show, but one thing that Jay and I are consistent about is keeping it 100. And so going into the season last year with London Lions, we were pretty much consistent in the fact of if they didn't bring us three or a clean sweep, then it was a disappointment. And so I'm looking at that roster right now, and I feel that same way about you guys, especially on the season you had last year, winning two trophies. If you don't bring us back at least three, then Jay and I are going to be on here saying we're highly disappointed. No pressure, though.
Yeah, please do. Hold us accountable, please. I'll come back on, and you guys can get at me if we don't. So please do.
I liked it. All those Peloton sponsorships, oh, go away. Like there's trouble afoot, that's for sure. But listen, let's focus on this European adventure. So like a lot of our listeners wouldn't know that you've got that European experience. So that's big time for any team to have somebody that knows how to navigate this. This is big news for the league. You guys are going to be flying the flag. You know, I said the same thing for Lions last year, is that everybody else has got to step their game up, right? And I believe actually I saw a tweet from Mark this week that was talking about, you know, how good our players are. And we've all got a responsibility as individual clubs to make sure we raise the level. We down here in Gloucester, like we definitely plan to do that, you know, because we know that all eyes are going to be on us from what you do. So, you know, are you planning to make some real noise in this in Europe, or is this just the first year as an experience?
No, I think Mark wouldn't go out and get these players if he just wanted to make it an experience, you know? So I think for him, you know, when I first signed here, Mark's intentions were to go to Europe after the first year. It obviously takes funding and takes a good performance. And, you know, the sponsors want to see that you had a good first year, that kind of stuff. But I think for all of us, at least the competitor and myself, and I know the competitor and all the other girls on the team, we're not just going to go to play, you know, we're going to go to win. And I think we can win. We can win the qualifier game for sure. And I played in Euro Cup, so I know the kind of teams and things like that. So like you had said, I think we're very capable. I think our team last year was capable. But I think with a year, you know, under our belts of mostly everybody coming back, and then you add a few additions who really can't do anything but help you, I think that can make a big difference. And Europe is different. But I think to have, you know, the fact that we're the only team in Britain who's going to do it, and we'll have, you know, the 11 or whatever so other teams behind us in it, and then the whole country, I think that will hopefully, you know, help us and try to show the world that, you know, British basketball, the league, the girls, the boys, whoever it may be, we're all here to try to better the game. And this is, you know, a step in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely all behind you. I think, you know, like competitiveness aside, you know, just I've always found that really important, is that you got to make sure if somebody's going to fly and flag. And it was the same as London last year. I was right behind them when they went out in Europe. And we really felt it here on the show when, you know, sadly, the dreaded COVID interrupted what they were trying to do, because I think they played really well in that first game. It was disappointing for them. They couldn't continue. But listen, obviously, as somebody that will be lining up against you this season, like, we're so excited to test ourselves against, you said it yourself, like, easily the favorites of the league. You know, talking to our girls, that they're just really excited. And when the Lions come to town, it's going to be something, you know, really special for us. That's great, you know, because you're going to help other teams bring fans to the arenas. How are you handling all being around each other? You know, obviously, with all the firepower, for it to work, you'll probably all need to subside something somewhere. So is that happening already? Are you guys seeing that in practice, and are you talking that through, or do you expect there to be a few struggles and then you just figure it out? What do you think the tack's going
to
be?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to say because it's all so brand new, but I think any time when you have a group of people who, you know, did really well together, played really well together, won two trophies, that kind of thing, and then you bring in a few more people, I think it's always a bit, you know, not awkward, but it's always a bit choppy at first. So I think that being able to try to spend time together and get on the court and things like that, I think that can really help you. And I think also, like I said, the maturity of the people, you know, coming in, you have two GB players who were Olympians, who are of the older group, you know, the people who have been around for a while, who are mature enough to know that when you come into a team, that you can't just come in, you know, guns a-blazing and stuff like that. So I think there's ways that you can try to, you know, even it out a bit to where it's not as choppy when people come in. But I think at the same time, it just takes a level of maturity from everybody to understand that you're going to have to give some things up. You might not shoot the ball as much. You might not touch the ball as much. You might not play as many minutes, but your role, you know, as a teammate and as a supporter and as a Lion in general, it doesn't necessarily change that much, as long as you remember what's important, which is, you know, us winning, us doing as best as we can. You know, the team comes first and foremost. And I think if everybody can try to remember that, or focus on that, then I think that can also help, you know, the camaraderie or the chemistry, and people understand that it's a team first. A little bit of, you know, selflessness can go a long way.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And I think one thing that gives you guys an advantage is learning from the mistakes of the men's side from last year. Sure, you guys were watching from the outside, looking in, just kind of how they were operating. Those intangibles, that's important, chemistry, those relationships. And at the end of the day, when it comes to sports, what you put on paper means nothing. You still have to go out there and play the game. So I think with you guys being under that Lions umbrella is really going to serve you guys well moving into you guys' own European campaign. But switching gears just a touch, I saw a retweet from you a while back that kind of caught my attention. It was a retweet from Cyfair Elite, in which a player of mine plays for them. So I just want to know, what's the connection to you? Did you play for them?
Yeah. I played for them when I was in high school. We won Nike Nationals. So I played with some really good players. I actually played with one girl. Her name is Ariel Atkins. She plays for Washington Mystics, and she just won a gold medal at the Olympics. So yeah, I had a pretty good team in them. We were pretty good.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, Cyfair Elite is actually in Houston and not too far from me. But I also did see when I was doing my research on you, you mentioned earlier on the show that you went to South Lake Carroll, which is a huge football squad. Okay. However, not as big as my Katy Tigers. So we've had a lot of battles in the past.
There's a battle.
Yeah. So I had to throw that out there. You know, last season you fell just short of the MVP award. But for me, like, I saw there were so many parallels between yourself and our league's MVP, Gino Crandell. I mean, both of you guys, first year in the league, took the league by a storm. You ran the show for your team, was a highlight machine, which was great for both leagues, especially the women's game. What specifically about the WBBL gives you the confidence that the league has the potential for growth?
I think just the people who play in it, honestly, and who have been around it and who have invested in it. You know, for example, Mark, he's been around the sport for probably longer than I've been alive. And so I think people like him and players that want to come back, you know, especially for our team, like you have Chantel Charles, who's played 4 years in Spain as a GB international and wants to come back and play for Mark. Or you have Shanice, who played for Mark in high school, who wants to come back and play for Mark. You know, you have Janice, who plays for Sevenoaks, who's been in England, just is now going to Sweden, which is awesome. But she's been around and stayed around, you know, through the not so good years of the WBBL and in essence. And so I think you have to try to stick around with the people who believe in you or believed in the league when it wasn't as big as it's becoming now. And you can see that it's getting bigger by the kind of people who are coming back. You know, you have Joe Leadham, you have Azania. Holly's staying around, stuff like that. I signed for 2 more years. You have Chantel, who just signed for 2 more years. So things like that, where you get players who can come, like, I could have signed somewhere else for the next 2 years or for the next year and then signed somewhere else again and blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, I want to stay because I want to see where the league goes. I think it has the potential to go somewhere. And if we can bring in players like we have this year, then imagine what other teams can do in the future, you know? So I think just things like that, just being able to rely on the fact that the league got better in 1 year, you know, instrumentally better in the last year than it had in, you know, the first three. So what can happen in the next one, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it is really, really exciting to see. And, you know, I think you're correct in what you said. Like last year, I really felt like it took a big step. And I think now just like Mark's laid that marker down for all of us is that we just got to raise our game. Listen, before I let you go, I just got one quick question. Like you touched at the very start about the WNBA, you know, and it can be pretty... For the listeners, it can be pretty unforgiving, you know. So if you get an injury, unfortunately, you know, I've spoken to a few players, even just this year, that last year, an injury, they missed the boat and now they're really, the door that doesn't open so easily. Is there any hope for you of wanting to go back to the WNBA now, or have you just ticked that box and you're kind of looking at other challenges?
I mean, that's a tough one. Like you said, it's a tight league, you know. You don't get paid a ton, and there's 144 spots for how many, you know, professional women's basketball players. So when I was, you know, in college and about to be like drafted and all that, and then I hurt myself, I was, you know, devastated, of course, because you grow up saying, you know, I want to play in the WNBA or something like that. You know, you want to play in the best leagues and around the best people. And then when it doesn't happen, you kind of have to rewrite your own path and try to figure it out. So I mean, I'd never say my door was shut to it. That's not, I mean, you don't shut doors to things like that, but I'm happy where I am now. And I think that if the opportunity were to arise, then you would go chase it or you'd cross that bridge when you get to it. But I haven't really put much thought into it. And like I said, I'm happy where I am now. And if the opportunity came, I guess I could dip my toes in the water, see how it goes. But it's a very unforgiving league. So I'm glad that I have, you know, the WBL right now. And that's for me, it feels like a good fit and it's pretty forgiving at the moment.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love how you mentioned about like the whole rewriting, because that is something that people have to do sometimes, right? You know, yeah. you set those lofty dreams and there's no issues whatsoever if you don't hit that high note, but you're still going to have, you're going to have a terrific career. You're going to play in Europe, which is, you know, arguably just as tough. Especially when you get to those higher levels. So, you know, that's fantastic. One quick thing. We talked about Team GB. I believe that's Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be involved? You with the team?
Yeah, I was invited, but I'm not going. That's something with my nationality. Because I got my passport after I was 16. I'm considered, I don't know if it's like non-naturalized or naturalized. It's one of the two, basically. And you can only have one of them on the team. So my case is with FIBA right now, waiting to get flipped so that I can play as a British player, because now that I'm in the UK, I live in the UK, I play basketball in the UK, and I'm giving back to the game in the UK. There's no reason why I shouldn't be considered a British player. So we're just waiting on FIBA basically to figure that out. And then once that's cleared, I should be good to go. But yeah, I was invited, but I'm just waiting. Basically, it's a waiting game for FIBA. You know, you can't control them. They're kind of their own thing. So, yeah.
Okay. So, Until then, plenty of Peloton, plenty of European basketball.
Exactly.
And listen, if there is somebody by chance listening that has any keys to the passport, can we fast track this along?
Because
it's hurting Team GB, that's for sure. But listen, you messaged me earlier. You said we had to be quick because it's past your bedtime.
I need to go eat, and I need to eat dinner.
Yeah. She said dinner. I think she said she needed to go to bed. But listen, this was really cool. I was really excited to get you on. It was a real, just like the road trip's been. It's been super last minute, so I appreciate you jumping on. But I'm sure we'll catch you in the season, and good luck. You know, heavy expectation, but I think you got this.
Yeah, thank you. Good luck to you guys too, and congrats on making it. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to come, I don't know, to the left and play you guys up, down. I don't know where you are, but it'll be fun to play you guys.
Yeah, we're close to Bristol. Hospitality is going to be great. You know, we'll be very welcoming. And then if you kick my butt, I may not chat to you afterwards. But until then,
it's all right. A chance I'm willing to take.
Now, thanks for your time. All right, we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, well, I'll be excited to follow. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, that is it from me. Loving these quick hits. Like I said, we're making it work. Today was just a little bit more relaxed. You'll probably be able to hear that in the podcast as well. We're both home, and that just feels good sometimes. Kennedy was fantastic. How good was that? You know, I love it when we dip into that WBBL. You know, and I'm not afraid to be biased. You know, we're about to get started in September. So that's my flavor, you know, working with the league and trying to help it out. But yeah, guys, thanks for sticking with us through the summer. Drew, you know, like I think we're going out with a bang, aren't we? We're going out with a bang. Everyone's got to get ready for this. Hold on. We've got some stuff for you. It may seem like we're living on the seat of our pants, and at times we were. But guys, we have a plan. So until then, Drew, lead us out.
We always have a plan. But like Jay mentioned, guys, next week we end this summer road trip on a bang. So make sure you come back here. Apologies from my end. I just got back home yesterday, so my internet is kind of hasn't hit its flow yet. So I know I was a little bit in and out on that. But we thank you anyway, guys. We know this summer road trip, we were just on the move. But like Jay said, it feels good to be home. And when we get back into the season, we know that it's coming soon. The show will get back on its regular cadence and everybody get back to a little bit of normality. Kids get back into school. So exciting times ahead. But make sure you guys come back here next week. Same place, same time for something huge on the show.
The show.
Thanks for listening to the BBL Show. The BBL Show is a 21 Media original podcast produced by Corey Mallory with your host, Jay Marriott and Drew Lasker. Keep up to date with the show by following the BBO on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where you can find details on future episodes, events, and fan interaction. Until next time.